Recorder has started.
Until this hour.
time lords are all in grave error. Therefore, protect my beloved crews against all such knowing lies and deliberate misinformation. Send forth all your spirits of time and let them access to their assigned stations. Bless all your own spirits of time that they be filled with my righteousness, which cannot abide error and can only abide accuracy. Send forth your own spirits of time, and all they shall reveal unto you, you shall bind up in a book until the day and hour of my appointment. Then shall the whole world see their inescapable suffering is because they slew not the socialists, nor the priests and advocates of false religion, nor the vile and profane among them, even those in their own house, to put those evils out of Ishmael, out of Israel, and out of the children of Abraham, and even out among the Gentiles and the Canaan push, and their suffering shall not diminish from the great burden of their own enslavement. So for those that are reading or listening that think Islam has any credibility before the Most High, that paragraph just condemned it. I replied, sir, I have not revealed the existence of my spiritual time to any living or dead. Shall I now teach the teachers of righteousness these divine secrets? Beloved son of my great understanding, yes, and those of my holy zeal should be more prepared against the days of Holocaust and years of tribulation the demons of socialism shall inflict upon the whole world. I replied, sir, and shall the spirits of time commune with the true and righteous Securians, giving them advance warning against the treasonous, treacheries, and impending murders of the socialists, that great Babylonian harlot of Rome, the demonic psychopath of Ishmael, the intrigues and deceptions of Levi and Judah, the Masonic and Knights of Columbus lodges, and the whole of communist-infested government and government agencies from the highest officers to the lowest employee. He said, beloved son of my great consideration, yes, and to the true and observant, in time sufficient to pronounce eternal damnations, everlasting horrors, and never-ending destructions upon those same socialists, that great Babylonian harlot of Rome, the demonic psychopaths of Ishmael, the intrigues and deceptions of Levi and Judah, the Masonic and Knights of Columbus lodges, and the whole of communist-infested government and government agency, from the highest officers to the lowest employee, and all their families and fellows, and all their generations under Shiloh. And I direct to that righteous company now, even in this hour, and to all the generations of Kurians under Shiloh, when the vile and corrupt seek to conspire against you, and you shall be informed of the spirits of time, spare them not. Spare nothing of harm and hurt and evil in your eternal damnations, everlasting horrors, and never-ending destructions upon those same socialists, that great Babylonian harlot at Rome, the demonic psychopath of Ishmael, the intrigues and deceptions of Levi and Judah, the Masonic and Knights of Columbus lodges, and the whole communist-infested government and government agencies, from the highest officers to the lowest employee, and all their families and fellows, and all their generations under Shiloh. Spare them not, for they are the living essence of evil. Spare them not, for they are the living essence of all that is vile before me. Spare them not, for there is no righteousness found anywhere in or among them. Spare them not, for they shall seek to slay you and destroy your souls. Spare them not in their secret chambers. Spare them not in their synagogues and temples. Spare them not in their councils, and spare them not in their public forums. Therefore, abide not even one word from them. For every word of them is conceived in evil, in treachery, in treason, and in deceit, that they may murder you and all innocents without restraint. Yea, when their damnations are revealed of the spirits of time, my crew and righteous avenge themselves? And I replied, sure. Now what that means, the moment we get the information, that's when we heal. We see somebody jackass in today, we can't pussy about it and knock them through the ring of their ass tomorrow. We've got to do it now. That's the end of the excerpt. Now, here's where we're going to start a little bit of rehearsal in some of the spirit things. So some of you are behind the curve. That's all right. We all learn at a different rate. But concerning the many spirits, each and every humanoid is born with four spirit guides commissioned to behold the face of the Father on their behalf until they have passed the age of innocence. Woe unimaginable to any who harms or abandons any child, for such are worthy only of the greatest damnations, and the Most High has unalterably spoken their never-ending punishment. Neither punishment of the courts of man nor absolution by any priest, shaman, minister, or other high person of any church, religion, faith, or following, except the living anointed and his true and righteous provenors of the great testimony, hold any validity before the Most High and do not mollify or reduce the eternal punishments prescribed by law. We're the only ones that can do that. Those four spirit guides must speak the truth in the great presence, and their testimony must be righteous and absolute, for the damnations for the offenses are infinite. These four spirit guides are not angels of the presence, nor are they of any evil, although when they linger beyond the age of innocence, they can, and often do, become incompetent to the will of the soul to which they have been assigned. Dismiss your own spirit guides only when and if you are competent to do so and fully comprehend the ramifications of your actions. Do nothing with respect to these guides of any doctrine or precept of any church, religion, faith, or following, and never in accordance with the dictates or decision of any priest, shaman, minister, or other such high person, regardless of their experience, education, or position in their respective order. Specifically, anything and everything in the name of Jesus is an abomination in the sight of the Most High. An attempt at spirit discernment by such vile deception is no exception. That you know and not believe each and every manifestation of Jesus or his mother Mary is Satan posing as an angel of light, and each and every testimony and sermon on their behalf and ritual with respect thereto is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of truth, regardless of the occasion, trappings, or showcase. Therefore, do not attempt against these spirit guides, regardless of your religion or lack of religion. And if you violated any child for any reason whatsoever, I want to absolutely repent. You are free to contact any true and righteous superior who is a proven knower of the great testimony or the living anointed himself while he yet lives for guidance and restitution. Their decisions are final. Somebody approaches you because they've jackassed. Don't go off seeing how hard you can hammer them without hearing them out. Because their decisions are final and they damn well had better be just. Now each and every living creature without exception has a spirit. That's different from a soul. That spirit also beholds the face of the Most High on that creature's behalf. And although many are born to an already decided end that does not entitle any to abuse them or alter them in the process, animal abusers, including those who defile their bloodlines by hybridization, or needlessly take their environment, such as the wildlife, are held in the same low esteem by the Most High as child abusers, and the punishment is equally severe. There are spirits who roam free, spirits who are perennial pranksters, neither to be confused with the souls in their entrapment, whether of a church, religion, or lifestyle, and many more caught in the ferocity or violence of their death. These are those who populate the hauntings and ghostly manifestations. And only a cruel teacher of righteousness or the proven knowers of the great testimony can actually tell the difference. Release those who are worthy or cast out those who are demonic. Each and every reputed exorcism by anyone other than a true proven knower or teacher of righteousness of the great testimony is a sham showcase dramatized by the great grand master of deception, Lord Lucifer himself. As for the rank, authority, responsibility, and organization of all spirits, all are similar to the structure written in the Order and Order of Angels, published on the 16th of January, 2009. Then there are also the spirits of time. Very little is known and even less published about them, as they are an order structured by and reporting only to the Most High. They have no other chain of command. They exist primarily in the future, but they can travel backwards and forwards from any given now, current time point. And they exist to assist the passage of time from the future through the now and into the past. So don't waste your time trying to call or invoke upon them to do anything. They can't be moved, and they can't be intimidated. They can and often do assist the true and righteous in handling time-related energies, but they have no requirement to do so. They are a true and righteous order of angels, separate and exclusive to the point there is no given title for their order. The leadership are all lords, and earn title of rank. Their muster is huge, and from what can be observed of their organization, built and structured as necessary for the job at hand. They can be violent when disturbed, so it's good advice to leave them alone. If they want to help you, they will initiate the contact. And that is one more reason why you need to know how to discern spirits if you're ever going to amount to anything before the Most High. The process to secure assistance from any spirit of time is first to be absolutely righteous. That does not mean you have to be a buttersoft, weak-kneed, namby-pamby when you should be a raging fury. It just means your fury, anger, whatever you want to call it, must be justified. They will not fight their battles for you, but they will, not always, expedite the forces and energies involved in your invocations of testimony to your advantage. They are not your servants. They are valued colleagues possessing vast knowledge, residing in a very advantageous position, who can do some great favors for you that you'll never be able to repay. If you are a true and righteous proven knower of the great testimony occurring, you need only invoke true and righteous spirits of time attend me. And if they're going to hear you, they will reflect the cognizance of their presence. To be able to detect this energy, I want you to practice on yourself. Place one hand near the other at the palm of one hand and the wrist of your arm. Close enough to detect the presence, but far enough away as to not feel your own body heat. That takes a little bit of distancing there, but you'll get it. Only takes a minute or two. Once you have that bit of expertise down, you will be able to detect the acceptance of a spirit of time. Generally, always on your face. It's almost like feeling a very subtle breeze, very light, very gentle, and without any temperature. You can just feel like something is in your face a little bit. And they, if you don't feel that, they ain't one there. They ain't got time for you anyhow. But that's okay. That's not the end of creation. They may do that at any time, regardless of when you call them. Now, spirits of time can be your best friend or your worst enemy, and they won't play games, matter and energy through the now. A very difficult expertise, so they don't have time for human soap operas or even personal vendettas without justification. Spirits of time need not be banished once they approach. They have no trails of intent. They are more elusive than dusting lettuce, so where they came from and where they went and where they will manifest next. They're just gone and there's no way in hell to follow them. Spirits of time do not hang around, so be ready to accommodate them when and if they send cognizance. They don't visit for the hell of it, and they won't bicker or bargain, and they won't wait until you make up your minds. Their show is on the road, and yours a damn well better be if you want their assistance. Are there any questions at this point?
Yes, Bobby, I do have one.
All right.
To make sure of something, when you told me many years ago about the spirit guides, I told all mine to get the hell away. Is there something now that I need to undo?
No. Spirit guides are those who always want to try to teach you with symbolism and all this horseshit that is a never-ending carousel. Well, they're trying to undo a little of their own redemption in the process. And it's 99% absolute bullshit. You start getting that from your own spirit guide self, get the hell out. I ran mine off as soon as I knew the bastards existed.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When the spirit guide, the time spirits exist throughout all creation on every plane level, or are they mainly
around here? Since the Most High made time, the first spirits that he made, he put them out there in the time passage. Is somebody clicking, or is that just the damn system? I'm hearing screeches in my ear like someone nicking off a plate or something. Must be some kind of dude. There it was again. Okay, any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
All right.
Since my spirit guides are new, I still have them. Do I need to get rid of them?
No, not necessarily. But if they start running off on some of these half-cocked ideas, which spirit guides can do, instead of instructing children properly, they get all jackass sometimes. That's why a kid one minute will have a stroke of adult genius and the next do the dumbest goddamn thing you could possibly imagine that you know they know better. That's what's happening. That spirit guide did.
Okay.
And you can't run the spirit guides off somebody else. You can only throw your uncle down. So you begin to get some of these things that you know is bullshit, ask where the hell it's coming from.
Okay.
But they can't, but they also can't lie to you. They will try to humor you and all this kind of shit. You want rid of them. This is not their existence. It's a problem. It's yours. Okay. Any other questions?
Could you just repeat the procedure? You can basically take your thumb over your wrist or something of that nature.
Okay, let's walk back through that again. What you're learning is how subtle you need to be to detect them. It's amazing when you start learning to feel energies. You get next to a light bulb close enough that you can feel the heat. Then start backing up across the room to see how far you can go and still feel that heat. And it amazes people that most of them can feel an ordinary 60-watt bulb in a table lamp at 12 and 15 feet away. But you can. It's really easy. You feel it with either hand with just a little bit of practice. Because the energies we're you're dealing with are all very subtle. When you're studying the planes, when you're studying the brain elements, those feelings are all very subtle. You don't get your hand smashed with a sledgehammer simply because you're feeling hurt. Very, very subtle. But that doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination that it isn't there. So, now you want to feel a living spirit. That's a little bit different. Well, the best living spirit to practice on is you. So what you do, take one hand, either one, it doesn't matter, and I suggest you learn to do it with both. And you put your hand, one hand, to the back of your wrist on the other side, on the other arm, whatever it is. And you move it down far enough and you'll feel your own body heat. Alright, that's not what you want. You want to pull it away to where you don't feel the body heat, but you can also feel the presence of your hand. And you should feel it in the hand you're using to feel it with, and the back of your hand, your wrist, whatever. Whichever way you're doing, you ought to feel both of them. And it's just a presence. For all intents and purposes, it does not have a temperature. But it's still there. Now, when a spirit guide, jackass the thing, they'll have you all over the landscape. But a spirit of time will not. To get you to recognize that they are coming to you from out of the future, one time out of 100,000, they will touch you by the hand or something and you'll feel that presence. But the rest of the time, they will do it right in your face. Because your face is the most sensitive part of your body when it comes to detecting anything else. If you have heat in a house, where do you detect it first? With your face. If the house is on fire, you'll feel it first in your face. So that's what they will do. And it feels like someone right in your face. Sometimes, and we've had some people feel a little bit of suffocation type sensation. But just take one hand, either one, palm of your hand, and feel the other back of your wrist. And you'll feel that it's a very subtle difference. There's a point where you'll feel the heat of your back of your wrist and your hand. And then there's a place where you'll just feel the presence, like something is near. And for some people, that'll be a couple of inches. Some, it may be a foot, depending on how sensitive you are. It could be anywhere. It could be different with every human being. It's a very subtle thing. Anybody having a problem doing it?
In the feeling both at the same time where you feel it from a distance as well as on your face at the same time?
No. Only when a spirit, time spirit, is going to talk to you will you feel it on your face. But you can put your hands up, take your hands up and feel the heat of your face. And the heat of your hands on your face to do that a little bit. That might help you. First, you've got to recognize that you have an aura, an energy aura that extends out on some people quite a bit. On others, it's usually about a foot or so, and it changes colors as it goes out in distance a little bit for those who can really read them. Well, what you're doing is detecting part of that aura, and that's what they do. They just come up and get right up on the outer edge of your aura, and they never get any closer than they have to get your attention. But the vast majority of the time, they will come up and project people just want to say, I'm a past Grand Master. No, you are not. But you practice this, and you learn to feel it, same way you do Akashic, air, fire, water, earth, the planes. And when you're studying the planes on this thing, at the risk of repeating myself, go up and down them in order so you can tell which time, L1, you're in. And if you go down into the depths, always go to the highest plane you can get and recharge your body of light and throw all that stuff away before you come back. You do not want to bring hell energy with you. Now, these spirits of time, they're a little bit harder to explain simply because we don't really understand a damn thing about how they do what they do. But let's take an ordinary neutrino that we talked about before in the lesson about time travel. Well, everything that we found that is moving faster than the speed of light is also moving backwards in time. That was our slight disagreement with my favorite scientist, Stephen Hawking, because he said to travel backwards in time would be impossible and gave some very sound physical reasons for it. One that he couldn't be changed and what have you. Now, about that, he's absolutely right. But he's a physicist and a damn good one, but he is not a metaphysician. So, these entities exist in this future that isn't here yet. And they direct forces and energy to go through the now, which we're in at the moment. That's the now point. They do that, and they are so good at it. The reason we don't have any problem, I guess. But if you've ever seen snow on a television screen, those are neutrinos being reflected in the process of the antenna system or the back of the video con itself. And when you look at them, you can, by taking your mind and you think to the right circle, and before you can get that thought done, they'll be spinning to the right. Because they're in a different time frame from you. The manifestation that you're seeing is in the now. But they'll dance, they'll go backwards, they'll go forwards, they'll go up and down, they'll do any damn thing you tell them to do. And if you look at it, you'll notice that they're slightly ahead of you telling them. It's almost as if they say, I want to dance to the left, and you want them to go to the left. Well, they're already slightly ahead of you. The funniest thing to, if you get kids and you got babies, so give them a big screen, tell them to make the bubble stands and watch it. The first time I found out that those were neutrinos, I sat in front of the black television set for a week. Every minute I got, I was in front of that thing. And a clue what I was looking at, but I was there anyhow. Okay, any more questions? Alright, now let's do a little bit of a rehearsal on making a body of light. Some of you are a little bit behind that. Now, making a body of light is pretty simple. You use the same process of running up in the spirit. Now that's in chapter 41 for those of you who want to trace the AED. You visualize an image of your physical body. And in that instant, you have created a body of light out of the energies and materials of the planes of heaven. Right there. Click. No time passed at all. And how many times have you already done that? As a matter of fact, when people are going to look in the mirror and wonder what they're going to see, they've already done it. And when they look in the mirror and don't like what they see, they've done it again. So it doesn't take any belief or any of that bullshit. It's all in the snow. It's an instantaneous thing that you do. Now, you take that body of light, not your own soul or spirit, that's a different one. And you can take it out of your body and move it up and down the planes and dispose of it without any, it just goes to energy. You don't hurt it any. Because it is not your living spirit. But bodies of light don't last unless you endow them with continuance. You can take a body of light and make it and put it on a station somewhere to do something, and it'll stay right there and just keep hammering at it. You have to consciously feed it. But it'll still stay right there. It'll be there taking orders. You get back to it every now and then. And I'm not talking about every 6 months. I'm talking about consistently. And that body will still be there doing what you tell it to do. If you take a body of light and tell it to look at a given, let's say an Egyptian wall painting, an image, find out where it is. A picture in a book works, but not quite as well. Let's say that they tell in the book where this image actually is. It's on the ceiling of Seti's tomb or something. And that's got a big picture of a woman stretched bending over all the way down the ceiling called Nut, N-U-T, Nut was the way it was pronounced there. Now you want to know what that emblem meant. Well, you can take a body of light and have it there looking at this thing and doing nothing but studying it, just looking at it. Because it's just like anything else. You take it in your hand and you get to look at it, you figure it out. Well, a body of light will do the same thing if you give it that much continuous. Now, the ones we use, we normally just let them dissolve. They will dissolve unless you continue them. You don't have to deliberately dissolve them. They'll dissolve of their own volition. They just go back into light energy. Now, a body of light is not a living spirit unto itself. They do require your consciousness to exist, as I just explained. But they will go where you send them and do what you tell them. That's the where and what you intend, and that sets the success of rewards or failure in disasters. Now make no mistake, evil is evil regardless of how it's disguised. They're trying to do injustice or common evil with a body of light is a sure and certain impending disaster. It simply won't work because the body of light exists in the plains of heaven, and the Most High does not tolerate any kind of evil in His high realms. If you want to make a body of light that exists in the depths of hell, you only have to be willing to accept the kernel or the eternal consequences, and you'll know the great secret spoken of by Emmanuel. I ran you through this before. This is what we do when we put a hammer out. Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then again in Luke 24, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Well, Emmanuel was talking about not only himself, but his disciples, because he could do that. And he knew that the people that were trained under him, that became his disciples, which heals in their foreheads too, had the same ability, just like I'm teaching it to you. So the meatheads out there that have their drinks, right, and all this horseshit, well, let them do that. But you're the one they damn well better be afraid of. And no, I don't care. When it's justified, you can cream the ass of anybody that does it. Questions about that, about your body of light, anything you want to get a refresher on. Okay, now, want everybody first to just take an image of themselves and visualize it. The whole body. Right the way you are right now. Now you take that body of light and extend it out to about, oh, say, 3/4 of arm and limb. Now take your arm out and you can feel it. You can feel your own body of light out there. You can put your hand in, whatever, doesn't hurt a bit, doesn't hurt you. And now, just let it dissolve. And that quickly, it's gone. Okay, now that's the body of light. Now I'm going to teach you how to detect your own spirit. You start at your feet for this instruction. You can start any damn place you really want to, but just follow my instructions. So that I got everybody on the same page. You start at your feet and recognize your physical body all the way to the top of your head and to the tips of your fingers. But this is you inside you. This is not a body of light. You have to tell yourself that this is you, your spirit. And you'll find trying to move it out of your body is a little bit harder to do. Doesn't want to leave now, does it? Well, that's because you've been programmed all your life not to walk on the freeway, look both ways in traffic and what have you, as a do not jackass yourself. So you stay alive. Now that's why it's harder to move out of your body. That is the big thing that you have to overcome with the practice of astral projection. That's what you're overcoming or trying to. Now, you can take that same body and let's leave it in your body. But I want you to take the hand. One arm, say from your elbow down, or your shoulder, whichever way you happen to be positioned at the moment, and make that spirit in that one arm, and you're not going to leave your body now, reach over and touch the other hand. Now that's an entirely different feel than a body of light, isn't it? It's almost just like you put your hands together, only very, very subtle. Try that again. Now, reverse it and do it the other way. Now, that's how you feel to yourself. When you're trying to do AP and up in the spirit, that is the body, the spirit body that you do that in. Any questions about that?
So that's the one we should be utilizing, traveling the planes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That's the one that you would normally
do AP.
Run that spirit one by me again, I'm lost.
Okay.
What do you want me to pick up at? The practice or what? Somewhere between the feet and the left arm grabbing the right hand.
Oh, okay.
Once you recognize your body, just start at your feet and recognize your whole body as you come up. And when you come up, to the top of your head. Now you've got everything recognized from the feet to the top of your head and even out to the tips of your fingers. That's not a vision of a body of yourself. That is a sense. You know where your toes are, your fingers are, everything else. So that you are one whole composite being in this. And once you've got that, take that feeling, that entity that you now know as your spirit, and make it reach over and touch the other arm. Not the whole body, just one arm touching the other one. And you can do it in reverse, and it feels almost like you took your physical hands and touched them. But it's very, very subtle. And I mean very subtle. And for some people, it takes a little bit of doing to get that to work properly. And that's because we have been programmed to stay in this physical body, to stay alive. That's part of it. You know, you don't do stupid things unless you want to die. Well, since most of us don't want to die that way, we're taught to grow up and live out our lives. That's why it's a hard process to be able to get out of the physical body in that spirit body. And that's what you're exercising. That's the difference between your own spirit and a body of light. A body of light you can make in a split second. Getting your own body to be trained to go consciously out of your physical body takes a little bit of doing because you've got all that programming to overcome. And there are no laws blocking us anymore. That's what Emmanuel blew out of the water. That's what his internal process was for. Are there any questions now?
So that spirit body is the one we use AP?
Yep.
And a body of light we use to dim them?
Right.
And you never mix them?
Nope. As a matter of fact, you can't. They are two entirely different realms that you're dealing in. As a matter of fact, you will absorb more water in your physical body taking a shower and drying off and then getting under a heat lamp. You will still absorb more water in that process than you can combine between the two of these if you have the rest of creation to do it. Simply because they are entirely different entities, and were your body not 75-80% water, you wouldn't be able to absorb that taking a shower. Crazy as that sounds, it's true. A body of light is just that. It's light. But that is also why we are very vulnerable to different frequencies of light. Get out in the sun too long and that light is going to get you. A gamma ray can kill you instantly. An X-ray can take a picture as it goes through. And what happens, part of that X-ray is absorbed by your body. That's why what's not there shows up on the film. But these are realms of light energy. So once you have a handle on the difference between a body of light and how to handle it, and your own spirit and how to handle it, you can do a couple of things. For instance, without going out of your body, you can take the spirit that now that you know that exists and raise it into the planes and recharge it without ever going anywhere. But if you're going to go down into the depths of hell, always use a body of light. If you're going to lose something down there, let it be something that ain't going to be out of your own ass. Any questions about that? Okay, no more questions.
will post all of this as soon as I can get it put together. Has everybody got a good handle on the Akashic Records?
Oh, hell yeah.
You want a good handle on it?
I don't have a handle on the Akashic Records.
Okay. Let me inform you this one. Everything is recorded as it happens in the Akashic Records. I'm not certain that the spirits of time aren't responsible for that too. Would not surprise me. Once recorded and passed, the now and time, the images, emotions, truths, lies, and all are forever there for everyone to view. You can immerse yourself in any image and read it in infinite detail, whether past, present, or future, although the present is a bit of a hard thing as it goes into the past, and the future is subject to change constantly. You can stand somewhere in the future once you know how to get into the reflecting aether and watch it shift as people's thinking changes. Some of it won't change because we do insist on maintaining our stupidity. So some of it will be there pretty solid, but with a little practice, you can tell whether you're in the past or the future. The Akashic Records are absolute and unchangeable in the past. Now, you're not going to bridge anything there. And they will be reviewed entirely in the great and final judgment. Nobody, Catholic, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Marxist, Communist, Fascist, Socialist, Progressive, Thief, Murderer, Traitor, Manipulator, Usurper, User, Politician, Preacher, or other liar, race mixer or race mixer are going to escape the full review in each and every finite detail. The future is as mutable and changeable as soft clay and fluid water, and all that's required is a change in thinking to change the future. Get off the full meat pick and things will start changing. And language is never a problem in the Akashic Records, as each and every particle is instantly transcribed into your own language from the original angelic in which it's all recorded. Angelic is the language of all the planes of heaven and depths of hell, and is instantly translatable into all other tongues and languages throughout all creation. For all intents and purposes, you can consider angelic the first language of the mind-brain consciousness, since it's also the actual language in all your dreams. So that's why when you get into the reflecting ether, and you're looking at it, you can understand every damn thing you say. Even if you never heard a word of German. Now, the spirits of time are usually found in the future where they exist, the passage of time through the now and the current instant. In some cases, they will assist the true and righteous, proven knowers of the great testimony, but nobody else under any conditions. Now, they roam the Akashic Records at will and are not subject to anybody's opinions or invocations, as they answer only to the Most High, remember. Now, the Akashic Records are located between the mental and the causal plane. It looks like a big smoky blue wall, or like a long pillar of smoke. And if it ever happened, it's in the Akashic Records in infinite detail. And if it never happened, it's conspicuous by its absence. Every thought, word, and deed is there in all its pure essence in the immutable past. Once it's done, it's going to stay done, and it's going to stay in the recording. There's no editing, no erase, and try it over again. That which is to come, in accordance with current thinking, is there in the mutable future. Everything, the occurrence, and all other organizations are about, individually, and as true righteous or violent evil, is present there in those Akashic Records, and they are gorgeous. They look sometimes, when you're in them, like you're in a 3D hologram, for want of a better explanation. I don't know what the hell they used before somebody had an idea of this. The images normally, not always, will appear solid, but when you get up to them and you need to go through them, you can go through them just like the sci-fi 3D man could walk through a wall. You know, you're not going to change anything. And if you drift through it in a time frame, as you go through the time, it doesn't drift with the time, it moves just like a motion picture. But everything is there in a sense. All their emotions, their intrigues, their intentions, everything they're thinking is all there. The whole damn shooting match. And you need to go see the Kennedy assassination in Daly Plaza. I guarantee you'll learn what a grand lie that one is. Nevertheless, that's the kind of a situation you are up against when you're in the Akashic Records. I don't know whether you've ever seen a life-size cat bed or not. They used to hire people to move the, make the parts because the palms were 2 or 3 feet high. That's what it reminds you of, moving around a moving chess set. Because you can go through it in microseconds. As far as the time is concerned, you can take a week and slow the action up like a you do in reverse with a high-speed film. You want something to get slow, you take frames that are far apart in time, then play them and it goes through real quick. Or you take a lot of pictures in a very short period of time, and as it goes through the camera's standard speed, it slows the motion down. How slow motion is done. They're done in opposite phases. You can do either one, anywhere, anytime, with any part in the Akashic Records. They are a fascinating thing, and if you've ever had a deja vu, and everybody has, they got all these crackpot bullshit ideas of how they happen. Well, when you sleep, your bodies go out to recharge. It's just that simple. And about every 90 minutes, they start changing off a little bit. That's when you get the REM, rapid eye movement, or the most part of your dream thing comes closest to being awake. Now, what happens during the travel, you've gotten into this Akashic Record because we're all thinking about the future to some degree. So we go there. And we see a incident. We're involved in it or something. The circumstance. And that happens to be the only thing, once we've been there and seen it, that happens to be the only part that one either came close to our conscious level of waking up, that is embedded there, or that's the only part that remained unchanged. When we do have a deja vu, we've done this before, knowing damn well we haven't, and sometimes they'll last a minute or more. Well, you can't have some psychopathic problem and have something that you can predict for a minute running and know exactly what the next word's going to be and who's going to say it, what's going to happen next. You've got it all down, and then out of nowhere, you're back in normal again. But those are where the deja vus come from. They come from the Akashic Records. Okay, any more questions about anything I can bring up to date on?
I'm sorry, Gerald. Bobby, I woke up the other morning and didn't really know where I was because I was somewhere in a dream and it was just after waking up. What is that caused by?
The same thing. you were just somewhere having a dream, and I woke up and I could see parts of the dream thing still happening until it fades, and it takes it sometimes a few seconds, sometimes almost a minute to totally fade.
That's
the thing you were in when you just got woke up, same thing.
Okay, so am I seeing future?
No, not necessarily. That could be something that you were having happen, triggering, because remember, out in the plains, that white matter will change instantly to your thought. So you could have been out there in some little crackpot thing in the back of your mind, and you're creating all this mess that's around you, and you woke up in the middle of it.
So it's
not necessarily future, but it could be. It could be either one.
Okay.
Gerald?
Yeah. Am I allowed to make a request from the time spirits?
If they come to you, you'll be about something, and you'll want something to go a given way because you see it already set up as that. Do you follow?
Yes, sir.
And you let them know, but be ready to tell them what you want when you get there. They're not going to wait till you get a shopping list and run out. Just be ready. But yes, you can do that. The invocation to call is simple. And that's about all you can do. Literally, it's more of a welcome than anything else. It's not, let me see if I can find this here on my notes. It's not anything, that that we have as a command over them, for instance. We have an invitation, for the want of a better thing.
Right.
And that's what we do with them. Here's what you do. Whenever you're trying to do something of your own, let's say that all of you, you've got a project, you're going to do something, and primarily this is something that you're into personally. Don't call these people up to help you as a group. As a group, you ought to all be able to do it as a group. And you don't want your version in the entire group by itself. That's that kind of thing. But if you're going to do things in a personal manner, and all of us have those, then all you have to do, and I've just written out a simple one, it says, true and righteous spirits of time, attend me. That's an invitation, not an order.
Thank you.
True and righteous spirits of time, attend me. And when you feel that presence in your face, they're there. And then you can tell them, I need this to go this way. And there'll be a thing moving that energy for you sometimes when they can. So sometimes a lot of stuff is already committed. You'd be surprised how much stuff coming at us is there because of the previous thinking of ourselves and everybody else.
Sometimes the answer is no.
Right. But that doesn't mean that they won't be there and line this thing through for you.
Right.
They don't necessarily take no from anyone. They have their own damnations that they put out too.
Exactly. Thank you.
But they will do a true and righteous spirit as best they can. And you needn't ask them about a question or one or anything else. You don't have to banish them like a death angel or none of that. They go on about their business. You can't stop them anyhow.
Then how would you close it?
Goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Yep.
I have a guy that can ask. That's starting me to wonder. If I'm not asking him to help me
but I want them to help me see something more clearly.
That's a miracle too. Yes, they will try that.
Okay.
They will not take over your clairvoyance for you, or your third eye. They won't do that, but they will take the energy coming through the now and give you that upper edge on it. But you're the one that's got to do it. They are energy handlers more than anything else.
Allow you to see a clearer picture.
Yes. But you've got to take advantage of it. They straighten out the energy where you've got something blocked. You're the one that's got to keep it straight. But they're not healers. That would be a healing process if they came in and did that for you. They're not healers.
Right. Right. I want you to.
Okay.
Somewhere I read in the AED or in your writings that you only go so far up in the plains without an escort.
Mm-hmm.
And you also said that these periods of time report directly to the Most High.
Yes.
Can they perform as escorts?
No.
No. But obviously they can go that high. Does that mean they can escort?
They can, they won't.
Not their job.
Yes, not their job. And they don't answer to anybody else. They don't answer to Metacom, the chief of the seraphim of the presence, which is the highest ranking entity this side of the veil. It'll pay him a bit more goddamn mind than the man in the moon. They're not enemies. They've got a job, he's got one.
Are they on par with the horsemen, totally different rank structure, or what are they in rank?
They answer directly to their own commanders, which are Time Lords, or directly to the Most High.
Okay.
They can tell the horsemen to suck money if they want to.
Everybody else is out of the
bed. They've got their job, and that's it. And they will not deviate from it, and they will not neglect it. So while they're doing their job, they're not going to stop, put their job on hold to take care of you. Or me, or anyone else. They're just not going to do it.
What happens to them at Shiloh?
They will be running to find the Shiloh, just like they're running right now. And any time they can't operate as a spirit of time, they are removed from the position. And I don't think any of them has ever failed that one yet. So it's a very, very elite clique, a very well-experienced and intelligent entities. They have their own way of doing things, and I don't understand any of it. Probably why I'm running for a period of time. They have their ideas, and they do them, yes.
How many does one expect to deal? Would it be more than two, three, or four, or just depends?
The spirit of time?
Yes, sir.
Very seldom more than one at a time.
Okay.
The most I have ever seen at any one time, in any one expression, which is what that is, was at the crucifixion of Emmanuel. There was a spirit of time at the crucifixion itself, one at the temple that actually ran the energies and split the veil, and the other one was riding the earthquake, but there was an earthquake at the same time. All three things happened at once. That was the only time I ever saw three in one. About one day at one time this close to the planet. So unless you've got something equivalent to the crucifixion of Christ, I don't think you're going to see it, are
you? Okay.
We would laugh about it, you know. There wasn't a fourth of the ring of new change of shorts or some of those things.
No. They just let them shit themselves in there. But that's the nature of the enemy. They are very true, very righteous to their jobs, and they do not give a good goddamn rat's ass about anything else. And if the option is for them to just do their job, or listen to somebody's soap opera, I'll guess you one guess which one's going to win that.
Does one have to be in the plane of heaven to contact?
No. You can call them as right in your phone. That's why whenever you're doing some things for yourself, you want to know the difference between using a body of light and your own spirit to do it. And you want to practice so the elements and everything else, so you know what the hell is happening. For instance, without any practice, you would think that a concha would not have any temperature, which it doesn't. Well, neither do the spirits. Not spirits do not have any temperature. But yet you can feel their presence. That's why you learn to practice that. And so you can tell the difference between it and the other elements and so forth. Because at times the spirit is entirely different than any other spirit. I mean, you can pull up old Wiggly Ass again, and he's got damn near like trying to hold an eel. He was trying to get away from Ernie's, he got that bad and pathetic. I mean, you can bring old Bastard to deal with an idiot spirit looks like. That takes about 5 seconds to get a fast grandmastership on that one, because they all feel pretty much alike. Except for the entity, the identity, they're all pretty much the same. But spirit of time is something else. We have absolutely no authority over the spirit of time at all. None. Zero. Zilch. We can invite them if we're righteous about what we're doing, and they get time, they will normally try to help us. They are not on call. I keep open invitation out for mine, and that's it. And you're almost wasting your time to thank them because they're not there long enough. They're gone. I always do. It's a good courtesy, you know. But they don't mess around.
Bobby, I just have to interject this notice. Remember how you told me about Hammerlin when you guys got the jet? We're off.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's okay.
But we're off.
Right. Believe it or not, what I've taught you in the last 2 months is the equivalent.
Okay.
It is the equivalent of a 10-year training course in the mystery schools of Egypt.
Mm.
But they would sit there and rehearse you and rehearse you and rehearse you. That was, you know, the bit, because they were powers to be reckoned with. I want you to think about this for a minute. We talk about this dynasty in China and that dynasty and the other dynasty and all this horseshit from one goddamn end to the other. You can take Babylon, you can take any of them you want. But only Egypt lasted for thousands of years. Its fall took 1,000 years. Now think about that.
Boy, your way it hurts.
Huh?
Boy, your way it hurts.
And you've got about a 10-year training course in plant power to a priest from the mystery schools of Egypt.
Wow.
Were heavier training than the mystery schools in Babylon. The mystery schools in Babylon were cut of two different cloths. You had the Chaldeans that were primarily mathematicians, astrologers, scientists, and what have you, in addition to some metaphysics. And then you had the straight-out goddamn black arts Satanists, for want of a better term, under Semiramis. So, if you will take the lessons I have given you and practice them, 11 on the Richter scale, you will be amazed at how much you can do and how much you can, you know,
Somebody get disconnected.
Somebody gave up, went home. Gerald, did you get hung up on?
Well, I heard it, but it wasn't me.
Can you hear me?
Yes, awful.
Okay, I just got cut off. Both phones went out. I'm on my cell.
Okay, honey. Well, I'm saying, if you...
Hello?
Hello?
No, I ended up getting cut off.
Oh, okay. It's Coco back. Okay, honey.
What's that?
That was Coco got him cut off, too. Nothing. You'll note we're up on a very critical part, so we have to have all the kind of new interruption we can.
Really, that's well,
anyhow, get all the down listening to me while we can. The thing is, it would take them 10 years to get to this point. Now, Babylon, like I say, has the difference. They have the sciences in their mystery schools, the mathematics, astronomy, astrology, chemistry, whatever else they were doing. Now, those were called the Chaldeans, and they studied languages and what have you, and the metaphysics of some things. So, they have that, and then the Sumerian schools were all the debauchery and all the other bullshit. But Egypt, while they had some of that, the mystery schools themselves, which Moses attended, he was a prime student, really, is the information that I've given you over the past 2 months, that they would take 10 years of daily rehearsal learning all of this and getting it refined. And unfortunately, for an Egyptian at that time, an average lifespan was only about 4 years. So they didn't have a hell of a lot of time to live with it once they had it. But Tah, P-T-A-H is spelled, who is Enki, of the Ea, is one of his other names, ruled Egypt for 9,000 years before he began to institute the system of pharaohs, the kings. And the bottom line of that was that because they were taught these things, Egypt was thousands of years of the perpetual pharaoh government, one pharaoh after another. Now, they had their share of jackass, to be sure, but nevertheless, it took Egypt 1,000 years to fall. Simply because of the firepower that the priest had. And surprisingly, the cliff really began to get steep once General Ptolemy, one of Alexander's generals, took over Egypt when they split up the world, literally, or the Western world, when Alexander died. And that was about 275 years or something like that until it really got down into Greek degeneracy, until Greek fell out of being a power themselves. And then they were taken over by the Romans and ultimately ended in Cleopatra's death. That was the final fall of Egypt. Within 100 years, nobody could even read or write hieroglyphics anymore. So this is the information that you are going to need. Now, I've got a little bit of a surprise for all of you. You're going to love this one. The next Sunday's lesson is going to be on the subject that you decide. I want all of you to let me know, one way or another, what subject you'd like for me to teach next Sunday. And that's the one we're going to go up and down on, because these things are not separated, if you'll note. They're all different paragraphs of the same thing. At determining your own thought. How do you do that? How do you know which thoughts are yours?
somebody else's. That's a critical study, and you got to do it all the time. It's an easy study to do, it's a habit to get into, but it lets you know when you read a book, you know goddamn well you have a different opinion. That thought wasn't yours, that was somebody else's. And with a little practice, you can even tell who.
I'm losing you, Bobby.
Oh, sounds like it. Is your battery going out in that one, too?
Losing you. I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. I walked under the swamp cooler. That was wasting on that one. Anyhow, do you have any questions now?
Coco, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you. I can't hear anybody. I can hear you, Patrice.
You there, honey. You're there, Patrice. Just hang in there, sweetheart. Are there any questions that you have at the moment on what we went through tonight? Well, you've got an entire 4 or 5 days now because I've got to have time to prepare your lesson. We don't have these things all written out. We will, but we don't have them for the moment. When are you going to get a fax machine attached to the Akasha records?
We're not.
In 3 days. We're not. Though I wish I wanted one of them since I knew there was an Akasha record. Okay, that's it. It's 9:30. It's been a good session. Hell of an hour and a half, even with the communications packed in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any question that I can answer directly on any subject that I know what the hell it is that I'm talking about? Most of which I don't.
You know, that's the greatest story you've ever told.
Well, if there are no more damages that I can do to the Hallelujah Half-Wits, I will shut this thing down, and I will be talking to you with the next dim-dim, if I can get there, and next Sunday, if our life happens. Now, this week I have a fleet test at the University Hospital. They're trying to determine that I do not have sleep apnea, which we know that I don't. It's dental apnea, and that's what they're after. So, we will go from there. And I bid you good night.
Thank you, Donnie.
You're welcome, Donnie.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, Uncle. Good night, Uncle.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, here I am, just waiting for everybody to shut the recorder off.
Oh, okay.